At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Daddy vs. Doctor. Here are your hosts, pediatrician Dr. Scott Cohen and comedian Sebastian Maniscalco.
Hey, welcome again to Daddy vs. Doctor. Really great show. Dr. Scott Cohen here. We find out how he got into pediatrics.
The origin story.
And we also have a spelling bee champion from Chicago on, 14-year-old kid talking about his spelling bee. What else did we do today? Suckers and taffy. Suckers. At Daddy and Snack. We do suckers and taffy. And we're having special guest today, Tom Papa, comedian, has a new Netflix special out that you could stream now. Go and see it. Welcome.
Daddy vs. Doctor. All right, it's that time again. Okay. Mailbag. Mailbag.
We're going to jump right in to the bag.
All right, so we got a question from a busy mom in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and she is asking, at what age would you feel comfortable leaving your child at home alone?
Okay, so you're dealing with this right now.
12 and a 14-year-old, yep.
I got a 5 and 3-year-old. Based on, I don't know, man. Let me ask you this. What is the biggest fear of leaving the kid home? Is it them lighting a house on fire? Them getting an intruder? What is it?
No, I think it's all the above. I think when you leave your child at home, you have to worry about worst case scenario. I tend to poo-poo it. Like, what are the chances? My wife is like, but what if, like in LA, you have to worry about, like, what if it happens to be the time you leave them home, we have the earthquake, right? An intruder, a fire, all those things. So I think you have to think about when the child is mature enough to handle those things, right? Are you going to let them use the stove? Can they turn it off? You know, can they call 911? Can they set the alarm? What are they going to do? I think you role play and you think about those scenarios, but do you have an age in mind?
I'm thinking 14. I'm thinking if Seraphine's 14 and Caruso's 12, right, if they can't figure out how to shut the stove off at this age, I did something wrong, right?
I mean, I think if you asked me 5 years ago with a number, I wouldn't have had one. But I think when you go through it, you sort of see. And like you said, so my daughters are 14 and 12, and I would feel comfortable leaving them home alone together and the 14-year-old alone. I don't know that I would feel comfortable leaving my 12-year-old home alone. But then there's different situations, like maybe during the day for a short period of time. But I don't think going out at night for many, many hours. I don't know. You know, it's that different.
I'm going to throw a wrinkle into this. You're going to go into Starbucks.
Right.
You got a kid in the car. Do you always take your kid into where you're going, or do you ever leave them in the car? And what age is it appropriate to leave the kid in the car while you go in?
It's a good question. I always take them with me because I always scared what if. Those situations, I always think what if. But, you know, when we started leaving the girls home for short periods of time, the rules were right. Like, you can't use the stove. You can't use the oven just because they know how to turn it off. And my older one loves to bake. But just what if you forget, you know? And now we're a little more lenient about that. We've role played, like, what do you do if there's an earthquake? What if you do if there's an intruder? What, you know, how do you get a hold of us? You know, it's interesting. So states actually have laws on what age you're allowed to leave a child home. Because you have to remember, in some situations, parents have to leave kids home alone because they're both working parents and maybe they can't afford to have childcare.
Yeah.
So a lot of states don't have laws. So California, I looked this up. California actually does not have an age. So you can choose on your own. What do you think the youngest age a state actually declares an age?
This just popped into my head. Yeah. 8.
So Kansas, 6 years old. Wow. Can you imagine leaving Serafina alone at 6 years old to fend for herself?
I think she could do it.
Yeah?
Caruso, no.
All right. Well, that's it.
But Serafina.
You know what's interesting? Probably a lot of kids could end up figuring it out, but I think it's the fear the parents have, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely think it's the fear of the parents. To go back to that car reference, what age do you think it's appropriate to leave your daughter alone in the car while you get a cup of coffee?
I think when she starts driving, maybe.
16. Okay. Yeah.
So this is interesting. So Kansas is 6 years old. Maryland, where I'm from, and Georgia were 8 years old. And then there's a bunch of 12-year-olds like Mississippi, Delaware, Colorado. But Illinois, you can't leave a child home until they're 14.
Oh, well, we would have been arrested.
So
I think I was home at 10.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Most states are none, but they range most of them between 8 and 12 years of age. I thought Kansas was interesting, 6 years of age. And then some of them do have extra specifications, like it may be 6, but only during the day for so many hours, not late at night. But it's an interesting thing that comes up with parents. I think that's sort of a comfortability factor, right?
Especially Los Angeles. I think the fear is here. Everything is volatile.
Right.
You're living in the northwest suburbs of, say, Illinois. You know, odds are, I don't know. Our house got broken in 3 times growing up.
Yeah.
So who am I to say? And we could have been in the house.
Well, did you ever babysit?
No.
No. Because I'm trying to think, like, how old were my babysitters? I mean, they weren't so much older, probably early teenagers.
14, 15,
and they were taking care of us. So it's not only like they were left home alone, they were put in charge of other humans.
Yeah. Do you remember a babysitter that you had growing
up? I do.
Up?
I remember a girl from a couple doors down.
What was her name? Do you remember?
I don't remember her name.
Was she hot?
I remember having a crush on her.
Okay. Yeah. I had a crush on her name was Jackie.
Yeah.
Jackie. I'm debating whether or not to say her last name. No, we'll just leave it at
that. Well, you got a story?
Well, no, I don't have a story. It was
you
just
always dress up for her?
I put a little cologne on.
Yeah, a little down.
But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, so for all our listeners out there,
what's up, Jackie?
Send in your comments. Love to hear at what age you first left your child home alone. That'd be great.
Also, I would like to hear from a different generation on this. I'd like to ask my father, maybe my mother, what age they were left alone.
Yeah.
Because I feel like back then they were left alone a lot younger than, you know. So those of you that are in your 60s or 70s, if you know how to comment, which I highly doubt you do. No, that generation, I would this they don't know how to comment on stuff like this, no? As far as like to do it. Yeah.
It's just
like, does your mom and dad know how to comment?
No.
They were watching a video.
No. Well, my dad and your dad's gonna call us and be like, "Hey, I did it," and we're like, "Yeah, just but now we're not on, so you can't nobody's hearing you speak."
Maybe we'll get video footage of my dad
explaining. We should call one episode. We gotta call your dad, we gotta call my dad, we gotta figure out some things.
Yeah, we'll get the dads on here and we'll have a ball with them.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So wait a minute, you won the spelling bee at school?
Yeah, in second grade. Yeah.
Second grade, okay.
What word was it? And wait, just say it because Sebastian's going to spell it.
Wait, hold on. Say the word. I want to see if I could spell it.
Okay, it's actually easy. The last one was easy. The other ones were hard. Yeah, the other ones were really hard. And then they went to the off list words, and those got easier, actually.
Give us a hard word. Give us a hard word.
But, well, the word that I won on was oddity.
Oh, well, that's a good one.
One of the words that I had to spell.
Jesus.
Have Sebastian spell it.
Let's go with oddity.
I'm going to go with oddity.
Yeah.
Now,
Remember the etiquette.
You have, yeah, you have to. Harder ones. You have, no, this is hard. Don't be cocky. You have to say the word and then spell it and then say the word again.
I think that's okay. How it goes.
Yeah.
All right. That's what script says.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you could also ask for, like, you could say
origin. You should ask for some question like origin.
Yeah. What is the origin?
Right.
Or what is the.
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Say it in a sentence.
It wouldn't matter.
In a sentence. Sebastian is.
Okay.
Is quite an oddity.
Quite an oddity. Quite an
oddity.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank God you got that one. I was really worried we were out on the first letter.
This is going to be wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Come on.
D. I-T-T-Y.
No. And not just one mistake. Multiple.
It's two multiple. D's, one
wait,
T.
So wait, what's your name?
Lucas.
Lucas. All right, Lucas, give it to us.
Oddity, O-D-D-I-T-Y, oddity.
Right. Okay. So you had one D, two T's.
It's always been my problem, the double. What's double, the D's or the T's?
Ask her. Like the word tomorrow. Tomorrow, I never know how to spell
tomorrow. Yeah, that's another one. T-O-M-O-R-R-O-W, right?
There it is.
Yes.
But.
There it is. But here. Spell pasta fajoule. There you go. He's got that one down.
Pasta fajoule.
Are you guys even Italian? Are you Italian?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. You said that like that. You never heard of that before.
No, I don't even know.
I'm talking about for him. I'm like, pasta, you know, pasta fajoule. Well, does it have beans in it? Yeah. Okay, then I think I know. Okay.
Can you ask that?
That'd
be awesome. Please give me ingredients. Origin, Italian.
Because fagioli. It's because I think it's fagioli is beans in Italian. Yeah.
Oh,
so, right. See, he speaks a couple languages. So
of course he does.
Right. All right, so tell us about the proud moment.
Italian.
This is the proud moment.
He's speaking Italian. He has an Italian tutor right now. Like, he's taking Italian.
Okay, so let me ask you something. When
yes.
he was young, did you see this early on? Like, oh, okay, this
oh
kid's
my God.
Is he?
He this is what happened. He was my first child, so I didn't know like the milestones of like learning, you know, for babies. And he would at 8 months old, he would sit. And I would spread out like letters, like little plastic, like magnetic letters, you know, on the table. And he would literally sit for, I'm not even exaggerating, for like 2 hours straight, just focused on letters. And then by the time he was about a year and a half, he was speaking pretty clearly. Like one morning he came up to me and he said, "Mom, did you know that Mount Kilimanjaro is in Tanzania?" That's what he said to me. It was like,
"Yeah, no, this kid's brilliant, and he's not getting it from his mom."
Come on. Well, on the Italian side, you know, we're not that smart. You know, we're not known for smarts, but we're artistic. We're very artistic, but not.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's a joke. So,
I know.
So let me ask you.
I'm like, I'll take it personally.
So to study for a spelling bee, is there studying involved? Like, do they give you words that are going to be on the test, or is this all like you got to figure it out in the moment?
Well, it depends on the level. So, what happens is for school spelling bees, you get. It's like, I think is it 250 or 350? I don't remember, but it's one of those numbers and that's how long the word list is. And it goes from first to eighth grade as far as difficulty. And you get all of those words to study, like, I don't know how long in advance, a month, 2 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it does require a lot of studying. And then another thing you have to prepare for is in case that they go off the regular word list because they haven't declared a winner after just the first words that they gave you. I know that they, yeah. So, and that time they released the words that were going to be next, I think, actually. But when I got to the district spelling bee, because I won the school one, so then you go to the district.
Ooh, man.
That's like 1,000 words, I think.
You're at the district level?
I think the number of words has gotten bigger since then. But it's a lot of words. And you got to study all those words. And then once you get past district, then it's regional and national. And I think for regional and national, you just get the whole dictionary.
So listen, I'm looking at the kid.
Yeah.
I'm listening to him speak. This is, you were born with this, mm-hmm. okay? Because I got my nephew, Max, on Lana's side. The same thing. Eight months old, year. This kid's like looking at maps going at 3 years old going, this is where, you know, Libya is. You know,
couldn't even make up a country to fake.
I couldn't even do it.
That's the craziest thing. It's just coming up with one.
Is difficult. It innate? Is this, you can't teach this.
Yeah, you got some kids are born. Yeah,
this is born.
Yeah, some kids and some kids learn it, and some kids just have that capability. Yeah, but there are definitely kids that are way beyond their years early on. Yeah. You see it early.
We had kids like this in school where they were so smart, we didn't see them ever again. Like,
they just went on a different track.
Yeah, they were like, oh wow, you know, Daniel is you know he's at Yale.
Just put him on a bus somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's like, why did they have school? All the other kids are at the spelling bee. I didn't have to be there.
Spelling bee in my when I joined, yeah. Out first round, gone.
Okay, Lucas, come on up. The next word is the anticipated championship word. If Lucas spells this word correctly, he is our champion. Oddity.
Oddity. O-D-D-I-T-Y. Oddity.
Tell them about the experiment, the experience of like winning and stuff, I guess. Well, I mean, it was really cool, but it was really cool, and I learned a lot from it, not just as far as spelling, but also you know, just it was a good experience, I guess, as far as working hard for something and like accomplishing something.
Yeah.
So
he's got his college interview ready already.
Yeah.
Like, and he had to get up in front of people. That was, I don't know. Yeah, that was kind of the whole school. It's a good, I think the spelling bee is in particular like a good experience for kids because it gives them an opportunity to, you know, work at something. And then also before and after I won, I failed like a bunch of times. So it teaches you about failure. It can teach you about teach you to spell better, obviously, and it can teach you about how to study for something or accomplish something. Like,
that's why I hope we have kid listeners,
yeah,
right, so that they gain something from this knowledge.
If you're a parent out there and you're listening to this kid, all right, this is what your goal is: to have a kid that could speak like this without being prompted. To learn the lessons of failure and accomplishment. Also, how much cash did they give you for winning the spelling bee?
I don't know, Faith.
That means your mom pocketed
it. All the way in her hand. The national spelling bee, but
how much? How much? What's first prize on national level?
Think first prize, 40,000.
40 grand? All right, bro.
Start studying dictionary.
Get that dictionary out. So,
I know, right?
Let me ask you, like a normal night for you, is it just like ripping through about 83 pages of the dictionary?
I guess. Okay, so I don't do the spelling bee anymore.
No, you're tired.
But when I was there,
you're retired. Him and Tom Brady today retired.
You retired from the spelling bee? What are you doing? Like science projects now?
Well, it only goes up to eighth grade. Yeah, so. I am in eighth grade, but I don't go. They don't have a spelling bee at my school, so I think I would have to like go and register with another school. But anyway, when I was there,
you retired.
When I was there,
I love it. He's telling stories about when he was young.
Yeah,
you know.
Let him go.
Like studying, as far as when you don't have a list to study from, what you usually do is, I think it's the most valuable to study like the Latin and Greek roots and like the etymology of the words.
Etymology.
Because that's the part where
he thinks etymology is an insect.
I thought that was a sushi item.
I didn't either.
I'll have three orders of etymology rolls.
All right, one more question. Do you do science fair? Do you do science fair?
Well, I would say I'm more artistic. I'm good at math and I'm fine with it. It's not like I hate it or anything, but I would say I'm more artistic. I like writing more. Okay. And
languages.
Yeah, writing and language more, and history. So more of the humanities.
More creative, you know.
Always in the fine art on the wall behind you.
You did that?
Hey,
the artwork?
That was me, actually.
Oh, that's you? Oh, mom. That's really mom's good. Got like an art.
It's really good.
She's got like an artist bug in her. Is that a Christmas tree in the back? What the hell is that? Is that a white tree? What is that?
Yeah, it's a decorative tree.
Decorative tree. Is that hanging from the wall?
It's on a stake.
Okay. Nice. It's nice. You got a nice home. You got a beautiful son. We wish you the best.
Thank you.
Gotta appreciate you guys calling in all the way from my hometown of Chicago. Go Conan Cougars.
She's proud, and this happened like 8 years ago.
Yeah, 7 years old, won the spelling bee. He's now 14, and he's done with it.
I think it's time for
toy time. Big Feelings pineapple.
Yeah.
30 pieces already turned off. Anything with 30 pieces to me is going to be a nightmare. This is for ages 3 and up.
So what do you think it is before you even open it?
Based on it, they give you like, okay, make a happy face, make a sad face, make an angry face. And then the kid does that while you sit there and bang your head against the wall. For having 30 pieces, I don't see much in here.
It's a pineapple.
It's all in that bag. This is from Learning Resources.
There you go.
We'll unscrew the top here and get into this.
What do you got?
All right, little bag.
Look at this. All the faces we can make.
I am feeling.
How are you feeling? So you say how you're feeling right now, and then I'll tell you how I'm feeling right now.
I am feeling.
Don't tell me. Just show me.
Oh.
You can show me. You make the face.
I'll make the face, yeah.
Make the face on how you're feeling right now.
So I will make this face on how I am feeling. Okay. Let's see.
What do you got? It's like a Mr. Potato Head for those who aren't watching video. It's a pineapple, and you put in eyes and a nose and a mouth. Actually, you don't put in a nose. You put an eye, you put a mouth, you put eyelashes. Nope, eyebrows. Eyebrows, eyes, and a mouth. And hands. It looks like they're hands.
I got to tell you.
And feet.
I got to tell you right now. Yeah. This is a little confusing.
Why?
I put the eyes in the wrong spot. Okay, I got to bring the eyes down. I didn't know eyebrows were involved.
You got eyebrows, eyes, a mouth, and hands and feet.
All right, let's see.
I'm going to guess what you're feeling.
I don't even know if this is going to be a good indication of what I'm feeling.
See how you're feeling.
I don't know exactly what's available to me. Okay, here we go.
You got it? Let's see how you're feeling.
Okay, here we go.
You're feeling happy with bushy eyebrows.
Happy.
Yeah. Those are some eyebrows.
Okay, that was fun.
What?
You doing? You
Do I have...
What? Oh, I didn't know there was hands here too.
Yeah, they're hands.
Okay.
Let's see what you got. Oh yeah, I like these. What else do you got? Let's do this.
This is out.
I actually could have fun with this for a little while.
You could have fun with your kids doing this.
Let's do it this way. Let's do it.
My son might dig this.
Yeah, he's gonna love this. This looks like.
What are these? I don't know. Oh, this is a tongue.
Do this.
This is a tongue. This is for the adult version.
All right.
How am I feeling right now?
How are you feeling? All right. So this is how I'm feeling, Sebastian. Being with you today.
Oh, hungry.
You always think I'm hungry.
Well, isn't that like you want to put food in your mouth?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. Like, I have to brush my teeth.
It says giddy, excited, what or confident.
One? Yeah. Confident. Like, I'm showing jazz hands.
What are you? What are you?
I don't.
When you made that, what was in your head?
I don't know. Excited. I was excited. Okay,
he's right. Excited. There
what do you
we
think?
Are.
Well, look, it's great because it has the storage. You like clean.
I like it.
You like clean. A child can say how they feel. They can show their feelings in a different way. What are you giving it out of 5 lollipops?
I give it 4. Yeah. I give it a 4. I like it. It's small. It's compact. A lot of bang for your buck here.
Yep.
You could do about 30. I'd say about 30 minutes. This is
like
good
it.
For
like a Mr. Potato Head of feelings. Minutes. And that was a toy we played with in our childhood. I like 4.
Okay.
Lollipops.
4 out of 5 lollipops for learning resources, big feelings, pineapple. Again, if you guys have any toys that you want us to review, please put it in the comments section. Were you always, even as a young kid, wanting to get into the medical field, or was this something that happened during high school? Kind of take us through how you end up in pediatrics, and was there another area of the medical field that you wanted to get into?
So I knew I wanted to be a doctor from an early age. We had an art project in grade school. You had a paper mache, something that we wanted to be. When we grew up, it still sits in my, talk about proud moms. My mom still has it in her bedroom. I'm 48 years old. So it's a paper mache doctor holding a baby. So I always thought I wanted to do something with children. I was always growing up like the basketball coach or the tutor. I loved, you know, helping out younger children. You know, from my personality, I'm a little bit jokey. That plays well with kids as opposed to adults. And I always liked science. I always gravitated to science and math. So medicine was always something that I knew I loved and wanted to do. But I didn't really know what field early on. And when I was in college, I, again, was planning to go to med school. So I took all the pre-med courses, but I really enjoyed reading and writing. So I took those as well. I was actually an English major at Cornell. The English people were really fun to hang out with. Not that the pre-med people weren't, but I knew I wasn't going to have a lot of time to do that. So I wanted to do both. And then when I went to med school split up. There's 4 years of med school. And what they do is the first 2 years you do, it's like in the classroom, you're really just learning and memorizing a lot of book stuff. And the second 2 years you're on rotations and they take you through different things. You do a surgery rotation, you do a pediatric rotation, you do all different rotations to see what you may like. And it's very quick. You're very quick in those couple weeks to sort of feel like, oh, I really enjoy this, or this isn't for me. And I really like pediatrics and I loved obstetrics. So I actually thought maybe I'd like to deliver babies. And then you do rotations where you're actually delivering babies. And when you talk to obstetricians and pediatricians, one of the pivotal moments they'll tell you is how you chose one versus the other is, I don't mean this in a mean way, when a baby was born, was I more interested in what happened to the baby or the mother? Because as a pediatrician, the mom delivers and they hand you the baby. As an obstetrician, they deliver the baby goes with the pediatrician, the obstetrician's spending all the time with the mother. And I was always interested in what happened with the baby. And again, with hanging out with kids and having a hopefully jokey, more laid-back personality, pediatrics was the way to go. And then I went into training at Children's Hospital Los Angeles for my residency. So that was like the full, I think the story was longer than the actual process.
No, I think I've heard hints of that story. I just don't think I've heard it in its entirety. And it's interesting to me to find out how someone chooses the field that they're in. You know, you often hear that, isn't it like heart surgeons or brain surgeons have like this God complex where they think they're, their God. Is that right?
Surgeons. People say that about surgeons, you know, or people know somebody. So like, I don't have, there's no other doctors in my family, medical doctors in the family.
Yeah. But when you're a doctor and you're saving lives, let's say you've saved a kid's life based on what you know,
I gotta feel like, and I don't even know if you could even touch on this due to the HIPAA laws and what have you, but have you ever had a moment where you just come home and go, someone is living because of me?
I don't know that that's gone through my head. I feel very good that I was able to figure something out. But I don't know. You know, in medicine, it's not an individual job. You know, there's a lot of people involved. So usually it's very collaborative, and it could be my partners in the office or other doctors or specialists working it out. And yeah, you're trying to lead to get to the diagnosis and the treatment options and things like that. And you hope you can figure it out, but it's usually a team approach. I don't know that I've ever gone home and been like, yes, that was all me, but very proud with my training and that I was able to help figure things out.
Maybe you would have been a part of a team that maybe facilitated it. I would have looked at it as more of an individual accolade.
But you know what I like about pediatrics? And another reason I went into it is pediatrics is one of the few fields of medicine that actually has more to do with education than any other field. Like, most of what I'm doing is this. I'm sitting with patients. We're talking about what things we can prevent, safety issues in kids. Yes, there's diagnosis and treatment, but a lot of it is education and prevention. And my father, who has his doctorate in education and was always involved in education, I always loved that part. I actually thought maybe I could, you asked about other jobs. I actually thought about, could I be a teacher? I love teaching. And in my last semester at Cornell, I actually substitute taught in the Ithaca school system for a while, and I loved teaching. And pediatrics, I feel like I picked a field of medicine because it lends itself to that, a lot of education, which I really enjoy.
Okay. I want to get into some of the perks mm-hmm. of being a pediatrician. And for example, a lot of people might not even know this or think about it. You go to the hospital mm-hmm. quite often mm-hmm. to see babies. Mm-hmm. Do you get free parking?
Do I get free? Yes. At Cedars, I get a pass and I get to go in.
You get a pass in
and out. The doctor's lot.
Doctor's lot.
I pay dues there, though.
You pay dues?
Probably part of that.
Okay. So you get like free parking at the hospital. Yes. Okay. Have you ever used that free parking not to go into the hospital, but to go to dinner somewhere around the hospital?
Nothing close to nothing that close. Parking, no. Okay. To pay for my own coffee.
Is there a break room or somewhere in the hospital on the floor that everybody kind of hangs out and go, Jesus, you see that baby?
No, not when we're rounding, but when you're in residency. So when I was at Children's Los Angeles, there's rooms that like all everybody hangs out because you're there for many, many hours through the night. And, you know, you'd have your big the tub of Twizzlers that you get from Costco and the big goldfish. It was disgusting. You're just constantly eating nonstop. And that's where you sort of hung out, slept, and talked about everything.
Okay. While you're doing your residency at Children's, mm-hmm. and I know this because I spent many a nights at Children's yeah. Hospital with Serafina. You ever hear like a dinging, like a ding, like yeah. the people are dinging, right? Yeah. And then you look up and go, again? If you ever looked at the ding going, is a rotation based on the ding, how do you determine who goes into the room to take a look, or do you have a sign?
You have a sign. So each doctor has certain number of patients okay. that are your patients. And you're in charge of, so you're going to be in charge of that. And then overnight, okay. there's a set group that's in charge of the whole floor. So anything that happens, every ding on that floor, you're going to all night long.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what I did when I was at the hospital. Yeah. I don't know if you know this.
You're the person who's dinging all the time?
No, you
know what
I did? No. I brought in donuts, mm-hmm. pizza, mm-hmm. cookies right. for the floor.
We like people like you.
Okay. Yeah. If I'm doing that, do you look at my room and go, anything they want?
They get. Everybody gets great care, but we appreciate you.
No, but what I'm saying, I know everybody gets great care. No. I'm not saying
that. No, but we do appreciate it. And we know that you care about, like, you understand what we're going through.
Yeah.
That we're there through the night. We're not eating well. We're not sleeping well. And that's, like, super appreciative. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it was a night there. Got a little hairy. Okay. And this is what I don't like about hospitals. And you tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like the graveyard shift at a hospital, a children's hospital, is the C students. Okay. Right? And then like when 8 a.m. comes around, they bring in the good
ringers come in. Yeah. No.
Is there anything to be said about like, because you know how it works on an airplane, right?
Right.
Airplane, first class, the flight attendant
yeah.
is the less experienced one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because they put them up because it's more demanding. So the higher you are, right. the less you work.
Oh, I would think they want their top people.
No.
Okay.
It's the opposite. So in the hospital, it got a little hairy.
Okay.
At around midnight, 1 o'clock. And we're dinging. And I'm out in the hallway.
Right.
Right. Looking. Nobody there. Right.
Right.
So a woman comes. I go, what the hell? Where were you? They said they had a code red wherever. They had a different floor. Yeah. Now, me as a parent, I'm looking at my daughter, can't breathe, mm-hmm. right? This to me is my code red.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then I was going to go, I brought you donuts. Doesn't that like knock me up on the list? No,
it's not that there's a skeleton crew at night because we all rotated through the nighttime. What is different at night is that, especially in academic teaching hospitals like children's, so the residents are the ones sleeping there overnight. And you're right in the sense of like the attendings, the people in charge are at home, available by phone, but there's always some senior level person in the hospital available any emergencies.
Okay. Yeah. The way it is for parents, and this needs to be explained to parents.
Hello.
I feel like they told the janitor, watch 4-6 until 8 o'clock in the morning. I feel like there's nobody there at night that could take care of something catastrophic. Yeah. I don't want something to go down at 1 o'clock and they're like, call Dr. Hubbard.
No.
He's in Marina Del Rey.
There's always somebody, and especially in the ICU where Serafina is, there is always upper level attendings available for anything like that.
Are they awake? I don't want anybody coming out of a slumber to run down to the hospital and he's like, okay. Because when I get out of bed,
cold bath, and you're like, I'm up.
I'm gonna take me a while to get up.
You are, I mean, you're lucky if you get some sleep those nights.
Okay,
but it's some long hours.
Okay, and for the listeners, all right, it's called Daddy Versus Doctor for a reason. Yeah, and I say this in the introduction. He provides the medical advice. I provide the comedy. Not that I was expecting VIP service due to the fact that I brought in Krispy Kreme.
What kind
creams.
Of donuts?
Krispy Kreme donuts it was. Donuts. Hot.
Yeah, those are good.
Right donuts. Out of the oven. Nothing?
Yeah. Did they bill you?
For the
visit?
Well, that's another thing. The billing here. We don't really get into a lot of these topics on other podcasts because people aren't thinking this stuff. If you bring me as a doctor or you bring my daughter aspirin,
kids aspirin, but Tylenol.
Or Tylenol or whatever it is.
Yeah.
How is that logged into the bill? Do you have to write that down somewhere? Is it inputted into a computer?
Nurse, well, there are certain orders that are standard orders. They're already in the computer because like things like that, Tylenol, they're routine and the nurses are available to give that out. They're standing orders. And then there are extra orders that doctors put in for each individual patient depending on what they need. And yes, everything that's entered and everything that's dispensed is logged and typically you're billed for.
Got it. Yeah. Now, have you ever had somebody, you made what do they call those bags of, a bag of what? Like a fluid?
IV fluids?
Uh-huh. IV fluid. Have you ever had anybody go, hey, doc, don't charge me for the fluid?
No, I mean, the truth is we, in the hospital, we're not really involved in the billing. We're just doing the orders and that happens in a different unmarked room in the basement.
In order to get a bag, though, you have to put that into a computer.
You can't just go,
a hairdresser. He goes to get the dye. Like,
here's that.
And then he tells you what dye he uses.
Everything's cataloged. Because also you got to make sure that there's no interactions with anything else. So everything has to be on the up and up.
Interesting. There you have it, guys.
Origin story. We're like a Marvel comic here.
It is. It really is to see how Dr. Cohen came to be. It's amazing. Tune into this episode for other little small tidbits, I think we should come up with a question and answer segment of some of these things that you have access to.
Medical, yeah. Yeah. Medical questions, maybe not just about your child, but experiences that you've had.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is Tom Papa, dear friend of mine.
Tom, thanks for coming.
Comedian.
Nice to see you.
Father. I want to jump right in to parenting with you because you have kids older than mine. I believe we were talking about this recently, that is your kid going to college or in college?
I have a junior in college.
Yes.
Who is now studying overseas, which is insane. And a senior in high school. So she'll be leaving next year.
So this will be good for me because this is what I have to look forward to. I have two girls, seventh grade and ninth grade. So lead the way.
It's a sweet spot. You're both in sweet spots.
Sweet.
You are both living the moments that come up on my iPhone of photos that I can't look at right now. I see your kids' ages and your kids' ages in my iPhone of my children who are now 20 and 17. And it kind of takes you to your knees that you went through all of that and it's gone. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta look at it. And I do it at I got a 5 and 3 year old and I see photos when they were 1 and 2 going where the time went. You're going through, they're in college. They're going to college. You're a year away from being an empty nester. Now, looking back at your time as a father, any advice you could give to people just starting a family, some mistakes you made, some things that you did really well? Are there a few things you could pepper us with being a father of two older kids than us that we could learn from?
My God, so much. I think one of the things I'm proudest of was that they kind of got a sense, there's a whole bunch of things, but I'll just start. One was that they saw us working all the time, because we work hard. Our careers are very time consuming. And I would get concerned sometimes, am I working too much? And I look back now, and I can tell from the way they act that it actually was a great example for them to see that you were passionate about something and that it meant a lot for you to work. And especially we have to be self-motivated. So it's not like you're clocking in at a job somewhere. And for them to see that you're having fun around the house and doing all this stuff, but you're also really working hard and doing everything you can to be successful and have a passion for something, that lesson just kind of happened. I wasn't planning it. I was just doing it and hoping for the best. And now that they're young adults, I can tell that they clocked it. You know what I mean?
It's great.
Like, they clocked it. They know that they have to find those things for themselves also, and that work is important. So that was like a cool, that was me not trying to be a good dad. That was me trying to be a good comedian, and it worked,
yeah.
You know? The other thing was that I think we always made sure that things weren't taken too seriously. I think that to give them an out, to give them a feeling that no matter what's being thrown at us, whatever problems we have, whatever relative is sick or dying, whatever you have to go through for life, respect it, take it seriously, all that, but never take it so seriously that there's not going to be a laugh in these situations. Like, let them know that the pressure can be released in any situation that we're going to face. That one I kind of premeditated, because that's kind of how I live. you know, things can get really heavy, but there's no reason that we can't laugh about it. And especially, you know, the big things, of course, but like the myriad of things, like with your wife, or my kids have never watched my wife and I have a fight that didn't end with us laughing. You know what I mean? Like, he's, you know, because the fights aren't over big stuff, but they never saw us like storm out, that's it, it's over, or that kind of thing. It would always be like some way out where we're realizing how ridiculous it is that we're fighting over who's loading the dishwasher.
Well, this is a good point, and I never asked you this. When kids see parents disagree or argue, is that healthy for the kid to see? Some people kind of suppress that. Is it good to, like, because I know I've been in the car with my wife and I'm, you know, having a kind of a heated discussion, and I see my daughter kind of looking, and sometimes I feel like she's going, daddy's right.
I think it's actually very important for them to see, and I think to your point, Tom, the resolution is as important, if not more important, because they have to understand that people don't agree all the time, and if you live in a world where you think everybody does, you're going to be, you know, disarmed later on in life. So there can be disagreements even among loved ones, but that, like you said, it ends in a positive way. We still love each other, and you can have disagreements and still love each other at the end. And it's really good for them to learn in their relationships down the road, because not everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It just seems like everybody's doing it better than me. I mean, I hear these stories. You're telling these stories, and I'm like, oh, with my girls and, you know, all these things. I wish I did better. Is there something you look back on and you wish you had done differently?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one regret that you can't go back and fix, you know, we are on the road a lot. And as comedians, it's like you're on the road, but I would always kind of rationalize it that, all right, so we're gone Friday and Saturday, but then we're back on, like, I'd watch businessmen, friends of ours, or businesswomen, and they would, who traveled sometimes more than us. And, you know, and they would travel, and then they'd come home and then go to the office and then put in 12-hour days. And it's like, as comics, you come home on Sunday and then you're there. You're in the house, you know, till next Thursday. So, like, we were around a lot more. But, and look, you can't kind of control this stuff, but looking back, those weekends do matter. You know, there's... things happen when there's downtime. You know, it's like, so dad's here, but it's Monday and I'm going to school and I'm hustling and my wife is hustling. And, you know, if I could have been around more on weekends, and I didn't even go that hard, but I just know looking back, like, could I have gone lighter on the road? I don't know. You know, Sebastian, like,
I know.
You're always balancing that. That's the price we pay.
Yeah. You know what, though? To your point in regards to, like, business people, I see, you know, people working whatever, 8 to 6, Monday through Friday. And yeah, they're there on the weekends, but are they there but for a little bit in the morning for a kiss goodbye? And maybe they don't even see their kids go to sleep. So, you know, I think you can look at it both ways. Yeah, would you rather be there on the weekend for the big game? Maybe sometimes you miss that, but you're there for the school drop-off and pick-up and dinner with the family on Monday because you have the time. So I think as parents, we go through this struggle of, oh, I should have done this better or what have you. I just think we're not going to be perfect. You did what you can. You did the best you could do. And I know it's hard not to judge what you did or what you're going through. But in the end of the day, I mean, if you're looking at your kids going, hey, man, we did a wonderful job. We got two, you know, great kids. They're in school. They're not getting in trouble. I think that's all you could ask for. I mean, what's the alternative? Yeah. You're there the whole 18 years sitting there.
Nobody wants you there.
And then you're going, years. What the hell did I do? I could have been in Fort Lauderdale selling out the theater. So, you know, I don't
right.
know.
It's yeah. No, I only look, I pretty much think I'm pretty perfect. I just, when you're on a podcast and they ask you, you got to come up with something.
That was good.
So now that you're, you know, gonna have basically two kids in college, mm-hmm. have you, your wife and yourself discussed what's the next chapter for you guys? Are you gonna work as much? Are you going to, like, I mean, like, is that even a discussion, or you just turn around and boom, it's just you two?
Yeah, there's no real sit down, but you definitely talk about it. The one thing that's on my mind now is that, you know, we're from the East Coast. My kids seem like they're gravitating back there for school, and we're in the West Coast. And, you know, so we want their house so they can come home to and stuff, so we're not going to pull up stakes and go. But I'm thinking we could go back in the way we were before kids, when we were living part in New York and part in LA. And I was thinking, well, that'd be cool. Like, keep the house and go rent a place in New York for 3 months, you know, or 4 months. And that would be fun. But we didn't time it out really great with the pets, because they're all still alive. And now
you have turtles. Like,
we've got dogs and cats and a lizard, and it's like, I didn't realize, oh, when the kids are gone, we're not really free. We still have to. We're still burdened by these pets who apparently are going to be around for quite some time.
Well, you talk about.
So we didn't.
You talk about pets here, and we haven't really discussed this on the podcast. I don't have pets. No dogs, no cat, no bird, no nothing. Didn't grow up with them, and my kids want pets. I know you have cats.
Yeah.
Is this something that was in your family? Did you grow up with dogs, and then subsequently now your kids... How did they want dogs and you got? Do you recommend pets? Because it sounds like you want them to pass away.
I think they were his wife's, and he it was either her or them.
That's why you're the doctor. When I grew up with pets, we didn't, like, my parents didn't want pets, and they got us dogs. And anytime the dog would act up, my father would give it away. So I looked at pets like I didn't like an army buddy. Like, you don't want to get too close because you don't know what's going to happen. That was me with pets. I was like, yeah, it's cute, but they gave away my last two. I don't know how long you're going to be around. So I totally acknowledge I have an emotional wall with animals. And my wife, though, she grew up. They talk about the dogs with their childhood like they were, like, part of the family. Like, yeah. So this dog and its life, and that she had, like, a pet rat that she used to, like, drive around with, like, on her bicycle, and a pet, like, it was on her shoulder, like an animated movie. And she loves animals. And she thinks that a house with no animals, it's like it's missing a heartbeat or something. And she is wrong, I think. Cats are a lot easier. Look, the kids, when you see the kids with the pets, it's joyful. It definitely teaches them stuff. It's emotionally, I think, probably positive. But if I were to do it again, and I'm saying this while the dogs are literally under my desk.
Earmuffs.
I would stick with cats.
Yeah.
Cats are easier. You can kind of move, and they don't require as much. But, you know, but Sebastian, it's like there are dog people, and they are different from you. They, like, dog people. And my sister is dog people, and the dog will come up and lick her whole face. And she just keeps going about. Like, if that happens to me, I'm in the bathroom, I'm washing off my face. I just had this dog just give me a bath with its tongue. It's, oh. And she would see me, like, recoil when the dog would, and I was, she's like, you're not dog people. And I'm like, I'm trying. I'm good. I've got Bella. She's like, yeah, but you don't feel it. It's not natural to you. And it's not. Yeah. You need at least one, because is your wife into pets?
Yeah, my whole family's into pets. I just never had one, and I feel the same way you do. I feel like it's not natural. Like, when I go to somebody's house and they have a dog, my immediate response is not to go down and play with the dog. Right. It's more, you know, very, I just bought these pants. Relax.
Well, that's like my brother, you know, they can't go away unless they find somebody to stay at their house with the dog, because they won't board the dog. They won't go, you know, they go to restaurants with the dog. And this isn't a tiny little put it in the purse dog. This is like a golden doodle that looks like, the big red dog. I mean, it's humongous. So, yeah.
It's as much work as you, I'm sure, feel like it is having children. The dogs almost take up more energy. Like, they are needy, and they bark, and they have to be walked, and they have to go to the vet. And they, like, you eventually you'll be able to rationalize with your kids, like, no, we don't do that now, or go to bed now, or be quiet now. And the dog, you never reach that point. Even the best trained dog, they're a headache. They're a lot of work.
So it sounds like your wife's staying in LA with the animals and you're moving to New York.
Right, exactly. Right now, my dog is growling, and she does this every day. Every day at this point, she's at the window growling because our neighbor takes their kid in a wagon down the street, and a toddler. And my dog acts like it's an alien invasion. they're annoying.
Oh, man. So your kids being older, and I often looked at my kids being the age they are and go, oh, my daughter's going to be kind of this type of adult or this type of teenager, and my son's going to be this type of... Did you see early on their personalities develop, and then they kind of fell into that category throughout their entire life? Or was one kind of, let's say, shy when they were six, but now is outgoing at 17? Is there a point where you determined what kind of people you had on your watch?
Yeah, and I kind of sensed it early, and they showed up with their personalities. Like, they came into the house day one and they were cooked. Things have changed. Like, they react to the world, but that person that's reacting to the world is still that person that we brought home. And I see pictures of them in that first year. That one daughter she's the same now, and the other one is the same now. They were both, I couldn't believe how you just walk out of the hospital and you're you. things will influence it, but I saw it with my nephews. I know nature versus nurture, and I think nurture affects you, and you can have things that arise and things that, you know, stunt your growth, or, you know, you have challenges or whatever. But the person that is hardwired, it's they're 20 and 17, and it's held.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I joke that I don't understand the nature nurture debate for anybody who's had more than one child, because you don't parent different enough to have two kids that are so different. And I see this, whether they're siblings, even twins, same sex, different sex. It's like they do come out a very specific way. And the one who needed things right away and mommy to get out of the shower and feed her, even as a teenager, the needs are very similar. The one who sat in the corner sucking her thumb and was sort of to herself a little more, now is very similar.
right, reacting to the world obviously differently for that age, but that personality was very much there early on. Like, we knew who they were. It's amazing.
Yeah. It kind of takes the pressure off when you're new to it. Like, I have a good friend they're having their first baby tomorrow. And I told him, it's like, you've done almost all the work. Now you just have to be around. Now you just have to be around and react. They're going to show up and they're going to be ready to go, and you don't have to make them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to build them. They are built. You just have to protect them and love them. That's really your only job.
It's funny. It's good advice. You know, sometimes I think we put more into it than it actually is worth. I think if you're just there participating, giving some guidance along the way, that they're going to be fine. I think sometimes we get caught up with overthinking things, maybe a little too much.
Maybe
especially,
we're the problem.
Maybe we're
maybe we just didn't do anything. They'd be better off.
I know. Well, you look at kids that grow up in other parts of the world where, you know, they're poor and there's no parents around. And, you know, then you'll meet these kids like in college who came from like Uganda, and they're like dialed in and ready to go. And it's like, I always thought, well, if kids are surviving all around the world, they're going to be able to survive in LA in my house. You know what I mean? Like, I really just be there and just love them and keep your family involved with them. And of course, you try and feed them as much as you can, you know, things that you think are valuable. But a human being is a remarkable thing. You just show up, and I guarantee, like, there's got to be home movies of you, Sebastian, not that different than what your fans see walk on stage in the theater.
Well, you know, I was a shy kid, you know, and, you know, you don't kind of equate shy to being, you know, a performer, or maybe you do, I don't know. But I mean, no one would have guessed maybe that I would be doing stand-up comedy. If you talk to people in my high school and my elementary school, he was so quiet. We didn't know.
Well, you kind of are off stage. You're not the guy on stage when we're hanging.
I was going to say that. He's not fun off stage.
Oh, he's so
I agree. He's exactly what he's describing.
One of the shyest, most boring people I know.
Give us more.
Speaking of comedy, and, you know, you have a Netflix special out right now. You got a book coming out later this year. You're a very talented guy. You're a very funny guy. Has any of that bled into your daughters? Do you see that in them? Do they have a funny bone, or does it skip a generation? What's the...
Yeah, they have... it definitely is contagious. And one is kind of like... One is... They both really understand what funny is. And they both look for funny and know when something is legit funny and not legit funny, like their own metric, just from being around it and seeing my friends and what have you. And they both like enjoy the, like I said before, like not taking things seriously and that kind of thing. And one has kind of put it into writing, and one is legit like comedian kind of funny. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't care about authority, which means her parents, and is like that thing of she's making people laugh for herself, not necessarily to be like a cute kid. There's just kind of, so yeah, it definitely when it's present in the house, it's gonna catch. They're gonna catch it. How it's gonna translate goes back to, you know, that personality that they, when they showed up, it kind of matches, and actually, but yeah, they're going to be affected by it for sure.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. There's going to be some funny people in the family. Tom, listen,
that was how old are yours?
About 5 and a half, 3 and a half. So yeah, they're gonna be 6 and 4 this year. And they do have, like, you know, their funny quirks and whatnot, especially my daughter.
Serafina, definitely.
Yeah.
She's quick.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if you went through this with your kids, but, you know, as a comedian, making your kids laugh is better than making, you know, a room full of strangers laugh, in my opinion. And my daughter, I do this, you know, I do this like little saying, and she wasn't wasn't laughing anymore. She goes, "Daddy, it's not funny, not funny anymore." So the pressure to come up with like a new, you know, thing to make them laugh is a huge task. I mean,
yeah.
Do your kids laugh at you?
Yeah. But I work it.
You're obviously a better writer.
Same thing. I'm conscious of it. And there's nothing better, especially when it's something inappropriate, especially now at this age and, you know, the way that the world is. And then to be at dinner and like, we'll just be, you know, my wife and the two kids, and we're just having conversations, and I'll make them laugh by saying something, you know, off color or whatever. And to watch them know they're not supposed to laugh, but they're laughing. Like if you can get them that level, oh, I'm good for the week. Yeah, it's a cool thing too, because you don't want to be, it kind of like is a good test of you. Like, you know, you have times when you make them laugh because you're corny, or the times you make them laugh because whatever. But if you can like throw them something legit that they laugh at that age, when they're everything in their being is like, my parents are stupid.
Yeah.
And if you can get that laugh out of them, oh, that's an accomplishment.
I feel it turns the tables when they're like, they go from dad's a dork to like, dad's really funny. It's something else. But Tom, listen, we know you're busy. We appreciate you joining us here on the Daddy versus Doctor show. Always a pleasure seeing you at the Comedy Store and chatting it up. And it was nice to have a full kind of conversation with you. I know sometimes we're talking in like 15-minute spurts at the Comedy Store. But we wish you the best. And
thanks for the insight. Now I know what to look forward to. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You guys are the best. This is a great idea. Keep going.
Thank you.
Have problems, I might come back and ask you.
Perfect.
Take care, Tommy. Bye, Tom.
That's great. Great advice.
Yeah, it's nice to hear from older parents that have kids who are in early 20s, late, because a lot of the show is kind of concentrated on
babies.
You know, babies and adolescents and toddlers and what have you. So it's nice to hear from parents who have kind of gone through it, shed some light on what's to come. It's time for Daddy Snack.
Zoli Pops.
What is it?
Zoli Pops.
Zoli Pops. The clean teeth pops.
So Zoli Pops are lollipops. And I think, if I'm correct, let's see, do they have xylitol in them?
This does.
Yeah. So xylitol is a way, so like sugar has causes cavities, but xylitol, and they'll make like xylitol wipes that you can put on baby's teeth and can help prevent cavities.
Xylitol is gas inducing.
To you? Yeah, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a personal experience with it.
No, I do. And I'm telling you, and I've talked to a doctor about it, and they said that it is.
Well, I think any sugar, but it's a type of sugar.
You don't got to discount it.
Yeah, no, I believe
it's true. Here's what I don't like.
Yeah, tell me.
Side note.
Okay.
You ever look at people open up a bag of anything online?
Uh-huh.
Or they'll show a bag online. You probably don't use social media as much as I do.
Nope.
But the noise the bag makes.
Like this?
Like people, I think, when they get a bag and they're like, "Hey guys, I have a new product. It's keto." And they do a lot of this.
These are good. So Zoli drops are delicious. It says sugar-free, allergy-free, dairy-free, keto, diabetic-friendly, kosher, nut-free, vegan, and natural.
A lot of times what you see, though, on the package doesn't matter. You got to read the back and see what's in it, right? See the syrup, palm oil, citric acid. This is
candy.
It's candy.
It's candy. That's the bottom line. It's an alternative version of candy that this type of sugar may be a little better than regular sugar.
What
are those? They're taffy?
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot, Bob.
All right. Could take out a cavity. But
a filling, you mean?
All right, give us the grade here on the.
All right,
I'll give it Mr. Candy, three and a half.
3.5 on lollipop, yeah. And taffy, or just...
Yeah, I haven't had the taffy, but I'll go with what you say on the taffy.
Okay, I go with 3 on taffy. Mm-hmm. Although I'm gonna have a third one. I don't know. I don't like candy for kids.
No,
I really don't.
Well, I think it's better than regular candy, but.
But you know what? I think your daughter has a point on how you eat.
What? Love?
There's just a lot of mouth movement. If we could cut out a segment of Scott knocking down a sucker, if we could put that in there, just isolate on Scott.
What are these?
Eating. What?
What are these?
Taffy.
No, what kind?
Keto taffy.
No, I don't love this.
Nope.
No, it's like a fake flavor, like cleaning products, like that type of citrus. You know when you spray something, and you smell citrus.
Yeah,
that's what it tastes like.
Just swallow it.
The lollipops were great.
I don't. The whole thing, I'm not impressed with.
It feels very plastic, manufactured. Yeah.
I think 3. 3 suckers.
Yeah, 3, 3.5.
3, 3.5. Out of 5.
Yep.
Clean teeth pops and taffy. If you got any products you want us to try in the comments, we'll snack away here and gross each other out.
Another great episode of Daddy vs. Doctor covering you love the word plethora of topics.
Let's go myriad.
Myriad. All right. We can do anything. Speaking of words, we had an amazing kid who won his school and I think regional spelling bee, all right?
Yes.
We talk about when's the right time to leave your child home alone.
I found that discussion quite interesting. A lot of people dealing with that, I think, on a daily basis, and us shedding some light on it. Hopefully it'll be helpful to people, especially you reading the ages where it's legal.
Yeah, it's interesting, state by state. We had some taste tests of some taffy, some xylitol lollipops.
Yes, we did pineapple
expression,
feeling building, and just a really great show all in all. Now, if you're loving the show, which I know you are, I mean, our popularity is definitely increasing daily. Okay, from my estimates and from what I'm seeing and from the reports we're being given, this is the number one growing parent podcast right now on the internet. And is that true or not? You'll never know.
Yeah, I think it is.
So catch us next week where we have another informative, comedic podcast right here on Daddy vs. Doctor.
The opinions expressed in this program are not intended as professional medical advice, as a diagnosis, as a treatment protocol, or as a substitute for professional medical advice from your physician. Please consider your own medical history and consult with your own physician for your specific healthcare and/or medical needs, and about your concerns for yourself and your family.